You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Morning. Good to be back. It's good to be worshiping. Seriously, I really like here. Obviously this month we've got the kids here in from Ignition, the older kids, for the rest of the month to give the break to our Ignition workers, which we're so grateful. And as Eric mentioned, if you're interested in helping out with Ignition, there'll be a meeting in a couple of weeks for that. But because the kids are in here, I thought I would do something as we continue month two of our Messengers series. And I need a couple of volunteers. I actually need a number of volunteers. But at this point, I need, maybe the house lights can come on, I need some kids that are, say, in, if you're in Ignition, kindergarten, or like you just finished kindergarten, or first grade. Are there anybody in here in that age category? Anybody at all? Anybody? All right. How about second and third graders? Are there any second and third graders? All right. I got one, two. Okay. All right. All right. Myra, I saw you. And who do we have there? Oh, hey, come on up. I know. Come on up, Trey. And I need a third person, actually. Yeah, Isaac, why don't you come up and be my third person now that I think about it. All right. Here's what I need you guys to do. To answer a question. And Isaac, you are going to be why don't you sit down right there for a second? Just sit on the edge of the stage, because I have a job for you in a moment. Okay, Trey, you and Myra, I'm going to, first of all, let's just test this. Can you pick up this bar? The bar. No, stand on the side there. Just pick it up. All right. You know one thing I didn't realize? One second. Just carefully down. I want to move this monitor. So, can you kill it for me? Because I'm going to unplug it. Just, you know, not that there would be any reason that there would be any danger whatsoever. But, so that's what you're there for, Isaac. So instead of breaking the monitor, we're going to break you. Okay, so you can pick up that bar. Good. Now my question is, here I have, and Isaac, you can stand up here too as well. Myra, do you want to look at this? Like, what is that? String? Okay, what, just look at it. You see it? You see it? Okay. All right, what did you say? Thread. Yeah, I think thread is actually a more descriptive thing. So right here, I have 15 pounds hanging on this little gizmo marator thing. Do you think that this thread, as Trey said here, would hold these 15 pounds? Anybody else out there? Kids, yes, no? Anybody? Speak out. Come on, talk. You've been... All right. No, okay. So you don't think so. So we're going to... You think it will. Oh, I appreciate that optimism. Okay, so what I need you two to do is you're going to have to kind of carefully pick up the bar, and you need to bring it down a little bit lower so I can tie it onto this, okay? Well, I appreciate that, but we need an even balance, okay? So, Isaac, you're right now you're just looking pretty. Sorry, handsome. You're welcome. all right. Oh, I did it backwards again. Okay. So what we're going to do, I just need you for a moment to hold this string. So it's really good thing there's such great lighting up here. So can you hold that? Don't let it unroll, okay? Okay, let it unroll a little bit. All right, a little bit more. And we'll just bring it through here. And then, okay, a little bit more. Okay, now spoiler here. No, it didn't. That was really hard. I had to strain. All right. So, I'm going to bring it a little bit more forward. Can you... Okay, I can see here. I'm going to tie it into a knot. That's what I'm doing here, guys. Actually, you know what, Isaac? Why don't you go ahead and sit back down so people can actually see what's going on. Hold that. You can hold that for me. Just don't let it unwind. So sit down in the end there. Good. Okay. So, and then in a moment, I'm going to make you move, Isaac, so you don't die. Okay, there we go. All right, that was the hard part. Now, what I need to know is I need you guys carefully... Okay, seriously, why don't you stand over there? 15 pounds and plus the weight, so it's probably like 16 pounds. And then I need you to gently, you're going to lift that bar up and set it here. Now, again, just to poll the audience here, how many of you think it will hold? It will hold. Wow, that's a lot of optimism. Okay, and how many of you think it will not hold? Okay, all right, just a fair split, which... Okay, so here we go. Ready? On three. Gently. This is not a contest because I don't want anybody to get hurt, especially not Isaac, and he's all the way over there, and he still might just get hurt. Okay, so gently you're going to lift the bar and put it back in this. Ready? Go. Wow, it didn't even lift the carabiner, and it broke. So that did not work. Okay, all right, good. Just want you guys to set that back in here. And okay, now you guys can have a seat. You too, Isaac, you're still up here. You too can have a seat. Thank you. Give it up for Myra and Trey. Yay. You can go sit. Okay, now I need some of the fourth and fifth grade people. Raise your hand if you're a fourth and fifth grade. Okay, Shelby, I saw your hand first. And yeah, come on up, Levi. All right. Okay, so yeah, you pick a side. And I guess, Levi, you're over there. Okay. Now, I just need to make sure that you can, in fact, lift this bar. Wait. What if you broke something? Like me. Okay, gently on the count of three. One, two, three. Okay, I think you can handle that. Can you handle that? Okay. Okay, gently put it back down. Okay, now you can just wait here and look pretty or handsome or whatever you care to look like. But Isaac's kind of got it going on, so I'm going to tell you. Okay, all right. So now I've got 15 pounds. Let's actually get back down. I know you're good looking, but get away. Go ahead and sit, because people need to see. Yes, thank you. Okay, so here I've got 15 pounds, but I'm gonna up it a little bit, and I'm gonna add another. Someone want to do the math on this? Yes, 8.8 on top of 15. Okay, plus these are pounds. 4.4 plus 3. Plus 3. What do we have? 34.2 plus the thing, so it's probably like 35 pounds, give or take. So my question is, having seen what we just saw, do you think, and I'll ask you two first, do you think, now stand up, Isaac, you can stand up, do you think that this thread will hold 35 pounds? No. What about you? We're asking a simple question, son. You watched that break at 15 pounds. So do you think that thread will hold 35 pounds? Probably not even lifting. Oh, okay. All right. How many of you think that this thread will hold 35 pounds? Raise your hand. Okay. What? Who raised you? What, idiot. You parents. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So there's a parenting issue there. I'll have to have a talk with that kid. Those kids' dad. Okay, but, however, now, Isaac, now I need you. Now you're like for real. So pretend you didn't think what you were thinking. Because what if now, and actually, why don't you come behind here with me, and then if you guys could lift this down like we just did with the other two, just carry it. Shelby, you want to bring that down there? Just right about there so I have enough room. Are you okay with that? You can get comfortable if you want, like if you want to squat, or just, are you okay? You okay? You look totally comfortable. Okay, good. Okay, Isaac, now, you are going to have to hold this for me, because we're gonna do this here. So, let's see, I'm trying. Can you come back this way a little bit more? Just back, bring it back towards the... There we go. Okay, good. So, we're going to put it through here. And actually, Isaac, why don't you go stand in front of Levi? I think you'll be in a better spot over there. I need you to hold... Hold that. Just hold that. Don't let go of that. If you let go of that, it ruins everything. It really ruins everything. Okay, you guys can keep this up a little bit so we have a little more room. Okay, a little bit higher. Can you hold it right there? Is that good? Does that work? Yes? See? Okay. All right, so now what we're going to do is, instead of just one time around, we're going to do it more than one time around. So I need you to help count with me here. And I just got it caught. See? Are you doing your job? Yeah, I don't know. Are you holding the thread? Then you are doing your job. Well done. Okay, here we go. Count with me. One. I'm doing this the hard way. Okay. Two. Can anybody see? I'm going to raise it up high so you can see. Three. All right, we need to count faster here. Are you still holding, Isaac? All right, talk out loud. I'm serious. I tried this yesterday, and I kept losing count. I'm not doing this so that you're involved. I'm doing this because I can't. Okay? All right, so we're at, what are we at? See? Four. Okay, now that was just one more was... All right. Okay, lift it up. You guys are dropping a little bit. Okay. Okay. Seven. Really? Oh, there goes the end. Eight. Worked better without the pressure. All right. Eight. Okay. Nine. Okay, we'll stop there. Isaac, why don't you come back behind me? Maybe that way these guys over here can see. Hi, everybody. All right, can you still hold it from there? Just don't get in the way. All right, 12. Caught there. 17, yeah. Hey, what are you doing? Okay. It's not easy. Okay. Oh, use your other one. Brilliant. Okay. All right. What are we on now? Somebody's kid. All right. Now 19. Now this would be 20. 21. It's like 11:30 right now. 20. Two. Oopsie, I'm pulling it up there. Okay. It's caught. Okay. 23. I think this is 3. 22. Okay. 23. Okay, we'll do 23. We'll count this to 23. This is now 24. And then this is 25. Okay, we'll stop at 25. You guys doing all right holding the weight over there? Now let's bring this up here. Okay, hold. I'll take that, and you take that. Okay, now let's just tie it off. Now, we have the same thread holding 35 pounds of weight, except that it's repeated over and over and over, right? Now, this is where it's careful, because I think this works. But if it doesn't, it will be a catastrophic failure. Okay, ready? So on, put your hands together on three. Why don't we all count? And on three, we'll be like one, two, three, Okay, and everybody's going to count with us. We're going to count down. We'll go three, two, one, So on one, you get it? Three, two, one, Okay, all right. Okay, here we go. Ready? Everybody count with me. Three, two, one, lift. Gentle. Bring it back. Hang it back on the edge of the chair. Bring it. There, set it down. Look at that. 35 pounds being held up by some thread. That's pretty impressive. So, did you think it would work? No, you didn't know. All right, why don't you guys have a seat? I will set this down because if it does drop. Thank you, Isaac, very much for helping hold the string and for looking so dashing. And I will put this down here just so if it, something does go wrong, it doesn't make a big issue. So what's the issue here? The issue is that if you repeat something over and over, it makes it stronger. If you take something, and that's what most rope is. I mean, at the very base level, even like naval shipbuilding holding rope, I mean, it's just a bunch of things twisted and braided and braided together. And the more you do it, the stronger it becomes. And we're going to look at a church today in Revelation chapter 2. And their issue was they were not repeating their growth. They were not, they had an issue, and we'll look at that issue in a moment and how it'll tie into this. But the point today is a message to a shallow church. Grow deep. A message to a shallow church to grow deep. And we'll see how, again, this will tie into that in a moment here. But we're in the second month of this series, and so we've had Kirk and Justin and Perry Noble teaching some of the different churches here in Revelation. And so we're, as if you were paying attention or not paying attention, we're kind of jumping around. There's seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And the very first week of this series, we did a little bit of an introduction to that, to those seven churches. So we're kind of jumping around, and today we're going to be in Revelation chapter 2, as you already saw in the Get the Message video. We're looking at the church at Thyatira. And so in Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 is where we're starting. And I will read this, and then we'll kind of break it down and see some of the things that are going on here. And this is what John, the Apostle John, not John the Baptist, wrote. He says, "Write this letter to the angel of the church in Thyatira. This is the message from the Son of God, whose eyes are like flames of fire, whose feet are like polished bronze. I know all the things you do. I have seen your love, your faith, your service, and your patient endurance. And I can see your constant improvement in all of these things. But I have this complaint against you. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and eat food offered to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Therefore, I will throw her on a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly unless they repent and turn away from her evil deeds. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person, and I will give to each of you whatever you deserve." Let me time out here. This is John writing the words of Jesus. I probably didn't clarify that. John wrote Revelation. These are the words of Jesus spoken through John. And then continuing on in the rest of this verse, he says, "But I also have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira who have not followed this false teaching, deeper truths as they call them, depths of Satan actually. I will ask nothing more of you except you hold tightly to what you have until I come. To all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, to them I will give authority over all the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he says to the churches." So the issue here is that the church in Thyatira, they had a problem. They were shallow. They were not deep. And I want you to understand what I'm talking about today, and this will come back over and over and over. I am talking about head knowledge. Today I'm talking about knowing more. And I go, because a lot of times these days in churches, we know a lot of people that know a whole lot, but don't do anything about it. I recognize that's an issue. We will talk about that over the next couple of weeks. But I want to start with sort of a foundation here of knowing more, of being deep as a church. Not shallow, not service-y, but actually having a deeper understanding. And so let's kind of break this down of this idea that this church in Thyatira was standing on shallow ground. Okay. So first of all, and I don't know, with these guys that have been teaching over the last month, I mean, there's kind of a format that each of these letters to the churches follows, and each time there's sort of an introduction, and you could break it down into some more specific things, but there's generally an introduction and then a conclusion, a reminder, a promise at the end. And so the first part here is just an introduction and just to get you set up with what we're talking about here, because all of you know about the church in Thyatira, because it's just so popular. It's something everybody talks about. You're like, "Hey, how's the church in Thyatira?" You're like, "Yeah, for real." I know that's what you guys talk about. You don't talk about it, you text each other. Snapchat. Okay, anyway, so First thing is just the introduction, and this is what John records as Jesus saying. Jesus says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Thyatira. And as these guys have taught, as we said at the very beginning of this series, the word angel is angelos, and the word means messenger. One who communicates a message. And that could be for an actual carrier that would deliver messages to these churches. It could be a local pastor for that church to share that message with the church. It could be like a traveling evangelist, someone that goes from place to place to place and shares this message. But the point is, it doesn't mean that there's some sort of creature with halos and wings flying around doing this. The word means, that's what the word means, angelos means a person who delivers a message, which is why throughout the New Testament where this word is used, we have the idea of an angel, because when an angel appeared to Mary, when angelos appeared to Mary, it was a supernatural creature. But what was the angel doing? The angel was delivering a message. And so throughout the Bible, whenever you see an angel, for the most part, when an angel appears, they are delivering a message to someone. Except for the spots where we record the visions of heaven and the angels around the throne of the Father of Jesus as well. So first of all, it's a letter delivered as an angel to this church. And the word church, ekklesia, is the Greek word. I love that word. It means a gathering, a congregation, a group of people that have come together, that have been called out for something special. And that's what church is. Church is not the building. We've talked about that a billion times. Church is not what you do on Sunday. If you do church on Sunday, you are missing what church is. 100%. Church is the group of people that have come together. So this is a message to this church in Thyatira. Now, a little bit about Thyatira. It was the smallest church of these seven churches. It was rather insignificant to the point where everybody, even as you do some studies about it, they're like, where is Thyatira? What is Thyatira? It's not a big deal. There were many bigger, larger churches in the area that Jesus could have shared a message with. I mean, don't misunderstand. These are all in Asia Minor, but there were more than seven churches in that area. And so why is Thyatira chosen? We don't know, but we know that God was using it, and I know that Justin had mentioned this. You know, each of these churches had a specific purpose and a specific message, not just for those churches then, but for us today. And so I think Thyatira was chosen because of the issue that they were dealing with, so that we can learn something from it. So here's a quick map. You've seen this a billion times probably. There is Thyatira right there. It's the just south of Pergamum. And so that's where it is in Asia Minor. And I don't know how much you're aware, like Asia Minor today is modern Turkey. That island block there, obviously you see Greece there. And Patmos is the island where John was banished by the authorities, and he was writing from that island. And I know it was referenced a couple times over the last month. So that's where it is. It was more of a blue-collar community, Thyatira. A lot more known for its, like, if it was known for anything, there were just a lot of people that did a lot of work there. And so that was that way. We do have one interesting thing, is that in Acts chapter 16, the apostles meet a woman named Lydia, who was a dealer in purple cloth. And it says that she was from Thyatira. So that's pretty much the only other mention of this. And there's some discussion about whether she was the one that, as she started to follow Christ, then took the message back to her hometown of Thyatira and started sharing with them about it. But she was an artisan. She worked in purple cloth. There were some people that were probably bronze workers, but it was more of a blue collar, you know, very similar to like a Lewistown, a steel town kind of idea. And so that's where it was. And then going back to the passage there on verse 18. And then it goes on and says, this is a message from the Son of God. Obviously, we know who the Son of God is, Jesus, whose eyes are like flames of fire, whose feet are like polished bronze. And these are metaphors. And throughout, especially Revelation, we see these metaphors that to us, we look at that and say, what does that mean? Why are they saying that? Well, the idea of someone having eyes like fire, I mean, that's pretty intense. And there's discussion about the people in Thyatira often worshipped Apollo, who is the sun god, and so this might be a reference to that. Like, you think you know someone who looks like the sun? Well, Jesus, his eyes are like flames of fire, and his feet are polished bronze. You know, these are all references to how great he is. to how wonderful Jesus is. So that's what a metaphor is, by the way, if you don't know what a metaphor is, kids or adults. It's something that represents something else. So it doesn't mean that Jesus is standing there, you know, going all Superman, shooting laser hot heat beams out of his eyes and walking around really slowly because his feet are bronze. It's just a metaphor for his power, for how amazing and incredible Jesus is. So that's basically the introduction of this church. This is where we are. This church is in Thyatira. You know where that is because of the map. So here's the actual issue. The first part of this message, this letter, this communication to this church in Thyatira is that they are told, well done for doing more. Well done in doing more. Next slide. Well done in doing more. There we go. So they were commended. And as you, I know that the kids learned this in Ignition. You guys probably know more than the adults do because I knew we went through all of that in terms of what the different churches all saw the chart up on the wall in Bay 6. But this church received a commendation. There were a couple churches that did not, were never told they did anything good. But this church did something well. And their issue, or their good thing, is that Jesus said, well done, good job in doing more. Because they were doing more than they were before. And that's what verse 19 says. Jesus says, I know all the things you do. And the word do means an action, an actual thing. It means the actions you do, the work that you do, the physical things, service things that you do for other people. And so Jesus says, look, I know everything that you're doing. And he's talking to the church. And again, kind of take this to us. You know, if a message was written to the church in Lewistown, to MC3, and Jesus says, look, I know everything you do. And my question is, what would the next part of that be? I know everything you do. He says, I know all the things that you do. He says, I have seen your love, your faith, your service, and your patient endurance. So Jesus says, look, I see the things you're doing. I see what's going on. And you guys, you have faith, you have patience, endurance. You're doing some good things. And again, we're talking about doing, physical, actions. There are some good things that are tied to your love for other people and your faith. And you're stepping out and doing things that most people would hold back to because it would require trust. So there's faith there and service. The word means ministry and your endurance through all this. And he says, and I can see your constant improvement in all of these things. And he's specifically saying, there's two Greek words here that I'm not going to define for you, but basically it means at one point, at the beginning, wasn't looking so good. But now, you guys are doing a pretty good job. And so that's the New Living Translation translates it as constant improvement. At the beginning, it wasn't so hot, but now it's getting better. Now it's looking better. You guys are really doing more. And so that's the commendation that Jesus says, well done. Good job. Because you are doing more. You are improving. You are doing more than you were before. And I think that's obviously for all of us. Like, is that something that Jesus would say to you? Wow, well done. And I'm not saying, and I was just reading this the other day, and I've talked about this idea, like, you know, our growth as followers of Jesus, when we become more and more like Jesus, it is not going to be a straight line like this. Like, yeah, I was kind of here, but man, it's getting better. And every day is always better than the day before. No, it's going to be like this. But in general, the beginning of that line and where you are today should be higher. If it's below that point, then, you know, you need to answer some questions. Am I following Jesus closer? Am I more like Jesus today than I was when I first started following Jesus? Whether that was 6 months ago, 6 years ago, or 60 years ago. You know, the question is, are we growing? And that's what he's saying to this church. Look, guys, at the beginning it was rough, but you're definitely doing more. So good job. Well done on that. However, now there becomes the criticism, the warning, because almost all these letters have a criticism or a warning. And he says, watch out. Watch out for false teaching. He says, you're doing well. The things you're doing are good. You're caring for your neighbors. You're making meals for people. You're mowing their lawn. You're shoveling their driveways. You know, you're helping them take the groceries in and out of the car. Good job on that. But the problem is you need to watch out for false teaching. He says your physical doing is good, but now we have a knowledge issue. We have a head knowledge issue. We have a depth issue. And that's what he says here in verses 20 to 23. And this is rough, but I have this complaint against you. Jesus says, look, guys, I've got this complaint. You are permitting that woman, and the assumption is everybody knows who that woman is, like, oh, right, her. That Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols. So let's kind of hold for a second there. The problem with this church, as Jesus says, is that there is this person among them, this Jezebel. Now, Jezebel was probably not her name. But Jezebel, if you remember, because I know you remember every king and prophet we talked about in Word 3, but you remember a slide that looked like this, and you're going to say, yes, I remember. You're saying that right now. Yes, I remember. Yeah. You are right now saying, yes, I remember. Or it looked like this. There we go. You remember that, right? So now you're saying, yes, I remember. Anyway, I'm kind of joking because I know we covered how many kings and prophets. But when we talked about the kingdom of Israel, and remember the kingdom of Israel, remember, was the kingdom of Israel all good or all bad or a little bit of both? Does anybody remember the northern kingdom? All bad. They were all bad, right? And one of those kings, actually the seventh, was named Ahab, and he was Elijah's enemy. If we looked in Kings there, and you would see how he kind of and Elijah kept confronting each other, having issues. He was a 22-year king. He was wicked, and he had a really wicked wife. And the name of his really wicked wife was Jezebel, right? His wife was probably known more than him, because what she did is she kept leading the people away from God. And she kept telling her husband, like, hey, no, you don't want to do that. Let's do this. And kept turning people and driving people away from God rather than toward him. And so, and you know, of course, that he was part of the Omri line. You knew that his great-great-grandfather was King Omri. So I know you were going to say that. Yeah, of course, absolutely. So, but anyway, we talked about it. So that's just so you know, when he's saying this Jezebel, the people in Thyatira, when they heard this, they knew, well, who Jezebel was in the Old Testament. And they understood that, yes, there is this person among us, this woman among us that is leading people away from God. And so, going back to the verse there, the issue here wasn't just that she was enticing them or tricking them or anything like that. It wasn't a sneaky thing. It wasn't like, hey, come over here. I've got candy, lollipops, kids. You know, it wasn't anything like that. It was that she was teaching them. She was teaching them to commit sexual sin, to eat food offered to idols. She taught them bad things. And the issue was that she was saying, oh, no, this is the way it's supposed to be. And everybody's like, oh, I guess God does want us to sin. You're right. Thanks, Lady Jezebel. And the issue wasn't that it was sneaky or anything like that. It was that they didn't know enough. They didn't have enough head knowledge, enough depth to recognize that that was wrong. So Jesus says, look, you guys are doing a great job, but you've got a problem. There's this lady among you, she's like Jezebel. She calls herself a prophet, and she is leading the servants astray. And the word there teaches, it assumes, it's not just like what I'm doing right now. Like right now I am teaching, I am proclaiming something. And you can be asleep, you can be awake, you can completely be ignorant to anything I say. You can walk out and you can be texting on your phone right now. It doesn't matter, because whatever you do when you walk out of here, like if you don't do anything with it, it doesn't matter. So I'm proclaiming, I'm speaking. But this word teaching means more, and we've talked about this word before. It means one who has disciples. It means this is like she's instructing them and they're following. This isn't just someone saying something, people are like, yeah, I don't buy that. That's a joke. Where I can't wait till I get out of here. No, this was the word that is used here. That she is teaching them, she's leading them astray, means that she's not just saying wrong things, but people are going like, yes. Yeah, you're right. I'm into this. And now they're turning away from God. They're turning away from Jesus. He said, Thyatira, your problem is there's this woman among you, and it says they permit her. And next week we're going to talk about this idea of allowing something, of ignoring, like, hey, we'll talk more about that next week. But they're saying, you're letting this go. You're letting this woman among you teach you, and you don't even realize that she's teaching you and drawing you away from Jesus. And he says, I gave her, and this is a little bit more explanation, he says, I gave her time to repent. He's like, I was hoping that she would turn it around, that she would fix this, that she would stop, that maybe as a church you would come in and say, look, Jezebel lady, this is wrong. God does not want us to sin this way. But she does not want to turn away from it. Therefore, so what's he going to do about it? God says, this is a big deal. It is a big deal to allow sin in your midst. It is a big deal to be like, yeah, I guess God's okay with this sin. There is no sin that God is okay with. And for Jesus, when he says, church at Thyatira, you people are allowing this woman to teach people and lead them to become disciples against God, to become to go away from Jesus. So what's he going to do? I'm going to throw her on a bed of suffering. And there is a metaphor here that I'm not going to explain because of the audience right now. But he's like, hey, if that's what you do, if this is what you think God wants you to do, let's talk about what real suffering is. And the word bed of suffering, it actually refers to a stretcher. A mat. And so it's a play on words here, which again, you put the pieces together. But he says, you're gonna be like you're sick. I mean, think about it. How many of you, when you're not feeling well, what does mom or dad say to you? Kids, Ignition kids, when you're not feeling well, what does your mom or dad say to you? What? I hear it. Go get in bed. Yeah. Go lie down. Right. That's like the automatic response, because that's what we do. We need our bodies to give it some rest, give it some time to heal. Some other of you said, like, hey, get outside and mow the lawn. That is, but the idea is that when we're sick, we go lay on a bed. And that's going to be saying, like, she's going to get sick. Because it's such a big deal, I'm going to cause her to suffer. I'm going to make her sick. And those who are with her will also suffer greatly unless they repent and turn away from their evil deeds. And we've talked about repent before. I know it was mentioned a couple weeks ago, too. Repent means to turn the other way. So he says to these people, look, this lady Jezebel and all the people that are following her, they're going to start to regret. They're going to get sick. And maybe it was physically, maybe there were other things going on. But he says, sin is such a big deal that I'm going to get them so sick that eventually they're going to say, you know what, I changed my mind. I'm going back to Jesus. And then he says, and this word sickness also means like sickness of death. And that's what he says then next, I will strike her children dead. The word, most understanding, and kids, this is important too, to listen, that when he says her children, he's not referring to her physical, biological babies. He's referring to the people that are following her. And so what Jesus is saying, big picture, is that this woman is leading people away by her teaching. Nobody realizes that it's even wrong. And says, I'm going to cause her to suffer and her children to suffer. They will be struck dead. They will die if they don't turn back to God. And so then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person. And I will give to each of you whatever you deserve. So welcome to the point, kids. Kind of an intense message there. But the point that Jesus is making is, look, you don't realize it. This woman's teaching is wrong, and you can't even see that. And she's pulling you away, and you're not doing anything about it. So now Jesus says, I'm stepping in. I'm going to make her and her followers sick so that they turn back to me or they're out of the picture because they are hurting the church at Thyatira. And so that is the issue here that he says, well done in doing more, but watch out for false teaching. You don't even know it's an issue there. And then he goes on, and Jesus says to them, hold on by growing deeper. Hold on by growing deeper. He says, church, how do you deal with this? You've got this person among you. She's leading you into stuff that is wrong, and you don't even realize it. So what's the solution? He says, hold on by growing deeper. And this is what Jesus says in verses 24 and 25. He says, but I also have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira who have not followed this false teaching. Again, false teaching. It's wrong. And even, this is a parenthesis thought here, it says deeper truths, as they call them. But they're actually depths of Satan. And that's kind of like a kick in the teeth, a punch in the gut. He's like, you know, people are like, ooh, do you know the deeper truths? Do you want to know more? That's what this woman Jezebel's saying. You want to know more of these secret things? And Jesus is saying, they're actually depths of Satan. These deeper things are actually exactly what Satan wants you to follow. So he says, for those of you that have not followed this false teaching, I'm going to ask nothing more of you except that you hold tightly to what you have until I come. Hold tightly. The word has to do with strength and to hold on and to grasp. It is a word that is used related to strength. So he says, look, for those of you that have not followed this teaching, learn, grow deeper, hold tightly to this, to the good teaching that you've got. That's all you need to do. That will help you deal with this issue of this woman leading you the wrong way. That if you hold tightly to the truth, to growing in that, to growing deeper, then you don't have anything to worry about. And the issue for us today is the same. Well, how do I know if this is wrong? Grow deeper. Learn more. And again, we'll talk more about how we need to apply that knowledge, but if we don't know it, we can't do it. If you don't know how to drive a car, you can't do it. You need to learn. You take steps. You read a manual. You have someone walk with you through it and talk you through the different parts of the car and why this wide pedal is important to know different from the skinny pedal. Because if you're coming up to a spot where there's a little old lady walking across the street, those pedals matter. Because if you hit the little skinny pedal, you got little old lady all over your car. If you hit the wide pedal, she smiles and says thanks and keeps going her merry old way. But how would you know that? Well, because someone shows you that. That's how we know that. Someone taught us that. And then you go and you learn more and you practice driving and you have to do driver's ed tests and there's road tests and all these things because we're learning how to do it. And Jesus is saying to this church, if you want to avoid little old ladies splattered all over you, if you want to avoid sin, if you want to avoid getting caught up in this junk, then take the time to learn, to grow deeper, to learn more. Hold on to that until I come. And the issue here is an issue of repetition. Because with just one string, you're going to fall. With one string, you can't even bear light weight, much less heavier weight. But the more time, the more we learn, the deeper we grow, the more we spend time in God's Word, the more and more and more and more we do it, the stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger it becomes, and the more weight we can handle. The more issues of life we can deal with. The more people that will say things, you can say, no, actually, that's not right. And when they say, well, but I read on the internet, you can say, the internet was wrong this time. Just this time. If you can say, well, my friend said, or they said, it's okay, hon. You can say, no, it's not, because I know God's Word. And God's Word is wrong. And that's what's going on here in this church, is that this lady, this Jezebel, is saying, look, guys, follow me. And everybody's like, wow, that sounds pretty good. I like that. I thought Jesus wanted me to follow him. But it sounds like I can do whatever I want, and he's still happy with me. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. And Jesus says, look, no. Hold on to the truth. Grasp it tightly. Get to know it more. Grow deeper. Because when you do that, then when she comes and says, this is what you want, you can say, actually, no. That's not. That's wrong. That's sin. But the only way we can do that is from knowledge. I hope you get this. I because we have to know it in order to be able to do it. It's so important. And again, if you just know stuff, and I'll say this a little bit later, if you just know stuff and say, look how much I know, you've missed it because we know it to do it. But understand that. So he says, hold on to what we have. Watch out for false teaching. Hold on by growing deeper. And then there's a quick conclusion here, and I'm not going to get into this because some other things I want to talk about. But the conclusion of this passage is in the last couple of verses, and he says, Jesus says to this church, he says, to all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end. Look, just hold on. For those of you that hold on, I'm going to give them authority over all the nations. And they will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. Real quick, the interesting thing is that this comes from a passage in Psalm chapter 2. And that's a quote. They will rule with the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. And because in that psalm, Everything around them was going crazy. It says, why are all the nations plotting against us? It seemed like everybody was coming down on Israel. And God said, look, just hold on. Because even though it looks like you're about to lose, even though it looks like it is gone, and you're at the end of your rope, even though it looks like you're about to be conquered by everything else, he said, hold on, because one day, if you stay true to me, you will actually rule them with an iron rod. You will be the one that will be in charge of them, and you will have the authority that I received from my Father. He says, and I will also give them the morning star. And that's just a metaphor for this idea of probably of resurrection. That if you hold on, you're going to be with me in heaven. Stay true to the truth. Grow deeper. And you will be with me. And these other issues, these people that are getting in the way, that are causing you to come to bring you down, they're not going to be an issue anymore. He says, anyone who has ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the church. Quick survey. Could you raise your hand if you have an ear? Please, just checking the audience here. All right, at least one ear. Good. So, Jesus says, if you have an ear, you need to pay attention. So this is for everybody that has ears, which means it's for everybody. So the issue here is that they were well done in doing more. They needed to watch out for false teaching and hold on by growing deeper. The message, the point today is a message to a shallow church, grow deep. And I just want to throw this out here. I don't care whether you just started following Jesus a couple weeks ago, or you started following Jesus at the beginning of MC3, or you started following Jesus, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We need to grow deeper. And if we're going, I know enough, you're wrong. The only one of us in this room that could say that would be Jesus. So if Jesus happens to be here, I don't see him, although we know he is present with us, but I don't see him in the room. So there is nobody here that knows at all. And so we need to grow deeper. And the reason we need to grow deeper is because it helps us deal with the weight and the junk of the world. And that's the thing that's so challenging. If you're like, oh, man, this is so hard. How am I going to get through this? Why does God do this to me? Why does this thing happen? Why do I have to? And part of that is because we don't know God enough. If we knew who God was more, if we understood his love for us more, it wouldn't change our situation. Don't get me wrong. But it would change our perspective on our situations. So why do we need to grow deep? Why do we need this head knowledge? Why do you need it? First of all, the first reason is that if we don't grow, we get selfish. And selfishness is the root of sin. Everything we do against what God wants is us wanting to do our own way. When you don't share with your brother or sister, it's your selfishness. It's sin. When you are upset that someone gets a promotion that you didn't get, it's selfishness. When you're angry with someone because they cut you off, it's selfishness. When you say, God doesn't really know the best and I'm going to do my own thing, it's selfishness. When you look at that picture, it's selfishness because you think, oh, well, this isn't going to matter this time. It's selfishness. All of these things are rooted in selfishness. And Jesus says here, Paul says here in 2 Timothy, if we don't grow, we get selfish. And he says to Timothy, now Timothy was a young church leader, a young pastor, and he says, Timothy, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. And we actually looked at this passage a couple weeks ago. He says, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. It says, Timothy. And again, I want you to hear me. It's easy for us to be like, well, God wants me to be a doer, not just a knower. And that is true. But if you ignore growing and learning here, you are missing something that is biblical. So he says, rebuke, correct, encourage your people with good teaching. Teaching is important. Knowing these things is important. Why? Because the time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. See, Paul says to Timothy, look, it's important to grow deeper. It's important to teach people. It's important to learn head knowledge because our natural desire is to just to be selfish. Is to want, well, you know what? I don't like what Sean said this morning. So I'm going to go to a church where they say things that I do like. Or I'm going to stop going to church because then I don't have to be accountable for my actions. And that is exactly what Paul is saying here, that if we don't understand deeply who Jesus is and understand His Word more, and I'm not saying you're a scholar, I'm not saying you're a college professor or anything like that, but just every step that we can learn more of God's Word, learn more about Him, helps us to stand stronger. And then it keeps us from being selfish. It keeps us from wanting to go, you know what? I don't buy that. If you are, well, children, if you're a child in this room, and actually all of us, I guess, are children, but MC3 student, Ignition age, listen, look at me. If you are an Ignition kid or an MC3 student, I was a youth pastor for 10 years, working youth ministry for years before that. One thing that I saw over and over again, you're not looking at me, was that there's a decision that you have to make. And it's going to happen when you're around 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in that area of your life. And you're going to decide, and I don't know your whole story, but you're going to make a decision, and it's going to happen, and I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And you're going to decide, do I want to follow the things that my parents have taught me? Do I want to follow their God, or do I want to do my own thing? And it happens with every one of you. It's part of adolescence. It's part of that change. And the decision's going to come. Do I want to do what my parents have taught me? And I'm, you know, if that is good things, then you have that decision made. If they taught you bad things, you might be like, you know what? I don't want to be anything like my parents. If there was abuse or anything going on there, I mean, but the decision is there. And our response is, and this is what we see, students leave church around sophomore, junior, senior year because they say, you know what? I'm tired of following their rules. I want to do my own thing. And it's easier to ignore that and do your own thing. And let me tell you, that was the issue with this Jezebel. She was doing her own thing. And God said, that's it. I'm not having any of that. So the answer to that is to grow deep. Don't just do things because your parents tell you to do them. Do that. That is good. That's obedience. It's appropriate. But learn on your own. Grow more. Grow deeper. Don't just say, well, they told me that, and so I'm just going to buy it. Say, okay, they told me that, and learn more about it. Because your parents are, I'm sorry to say this, but they care about you. They love you. And I'm also going to say this, and I know this is a shocker, but sometimes they mess up. But they still love you. And I want you to be careful that it's easy to say, you know what, you're at this point in your life, you're like, I don't want this anymore. I'm just going to ditch the whole thing. Don't do that. Grow deeper, and then you won't get selfish and say, I want my own way, I want my own thing. Grow deeper, and then you won't get selfish. The second thing, why do we need to grow deep? Is because if we don't grow, we start drifting. If you're not growing, you start drifting. I know that Justin talked about this a couple weeks ago, about coming back to that first love. Nobody, most of the time, made a decision in your relationship with your spouse to say, you know what, today I'm not going to love them anymore. It you know, and even the crazy eating leftover crud at a drive-in, like, even those weird decisions, if you weren't here, you can read the transcript online. He's messed up. I'm going to keep knocking it then because I won't. Okay. Anyway, but you know, there isn't this decision to say I don't want the relationship to be where it was. We drift. And the one way to combat that is by being intentional. And this is our drifting with our relationship with Jesus. If you think, hey, I went to church, I'm good, or I followed Jesus, or I read my Bible once and I'm okay, or I did it even just to check it off the list, and if you don't grow, you start to drift away from God. And that's what Ephesians 4 says. He's talking about leaders of the church. He says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such a unity in our faith and our knowledge of God's Son. So we're growing in our faith and our knowledge of Jesus so that we will be mature, meaning growing deeper in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So the more we know, the more we grow, the deeper we get, then we will no longer be immature like children. Sorry. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body. He says these people that didn't grow, all of a sudden anything comes along and they just go, I'll just drift this way. The wind blows, the waves come. They just kind of push them aside. It doesn't matter. But Paul says here, look, the more we know, the less we'll be likely to drift. The less we will fall into the teaching that is wrong, the inappropriate things that lead us to sin. And then finally, why grow deep? Because if we don't grow, we stop trusting. Again, in Timothy, Paul writes this in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished on the truth of the faith and of the good teaching you have followed. Again, this idea of knowledge, of teaching, of learning. He says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So what is Paul saying to Timothy? The more you grow yourself spiritually, the more weight you will be able to carry. And stop whining and saying, why is this so hard, when we're not willing to put in the effort to learn to understand Jesus more. And please, listen to me very carefully. We are not saying here that God will love you more if you read your Bible more. Not at all. God cannot love you any more than He does right now. He loves you completely, totally. But what we are saying is that the more you study your Bible, the more you will understand God's love for you, and the more you will be able to hold the weight. And I ask you this, do you spend anywhere near as much time growing spiritually, training yourself to be godly, that you do training yourself physically, working out, exercising, physical activity, eating right, all of those things? Do you spend anywhere near that much time studying God's Word? Because the physical training, it's of some value. There's nothing wrong with it, but training to be godly is going to matter for now and for eternity. The more we repeat, the more we learn, the deeper we grow, the more this thread gets deeper and deeper and stronger can handle more and more weight. And so the issue with the church in Thyatira was that they weren't growing. So why do we grow? Is if we don't grow, we get selfish, we start drifting, and we stop trusting God. We turn back and say, I don't know, this is wrong, this is hard. And we ignore God and what He is actually doing and actively doing in our lives. So real quick, how do we grow deep? I have some quick things here for you, and then we will be done. The first thing, and again, we're talking about head knowledge here, so everybody can listen to this, because we're different people. You have different things that you enjoy to do. Some of you are physically good at things that some of you are not. Some of you are musically talented. Some of you are verbally talented. There's all these different things that make us different. And so there are multiple ways that I want to propose that we grow deep. Because if one of these doesn't work for you, maybe another one will. The first thing is read. You grow by reading your Bible. YouVersion. I don't care about your excuses, because it used to be, I can't carry my big hardback Bible around with me everywhere I go. Fair enough. But most of you have a tablet or a phone that you do carry around with you. And YouVersion is free, and it is an easy way to read the Bible. And if you're not reading, you're not growing. And if you're not growing, you need to stop whining. So reading is one way. The second thing is study. Some of you, maybe reading is cool, but you really enjoy studying, getting into it. I mentioned this during our It's Elementary series. We talk about how to study the Bible, and there's a resource called Bible.org that has all sorts of tools where if you want to go deeper, and I know Justin did such an incredible job communicating what's going on in the church that he was talking about in Revelation and here in Thyatira. Maybe some of you are like, yeah, I really want to know more about that. What's going on there? Well, maybe studying is the way you grow deep. You don't just read it, but you actually dive in and say, what's it all about? That's another way. Another way is writing. Some people, there's a a practice called journaling. Sometimes writing things out, writing your thoughts, what do you see, and writing it out is good because you're better at writing things. And so maybe that's how you grow deep. You look at God's Word, and we're not just talking about writing like a story. We're talking about writing and studying God's Word. But maybe it's an issue of journaling your thoughts out. You read a passage, you go, huh, what is that all about? When I was in graduate school, my professor, one of my classes, a class on Psalms, and we had to do a life application journal. And we had to read something like 50 different Psalms and write a page of our thoughts about it. And so it was a lot of writing, but from a practical standpoint, it was pretty easy. What do you think about that? And sometimes that helps us process. Why did God say that? How does that look in my life? And writing some of those things out is a way that would work for you. Another way would be listening or watching. Maybe, you know, listening is your thing. You can hear things better if you listen to it, or if you're watching a video of someone teaching. We have The Point online for you to listen to and grow in that way. Now, I want to add a careful statement here is that your growth is your responsibility. The classic one is like, well, I'm not getting fed, so I'm leaving that church. Oh, I'm going to go listen to that person. Well, they didn't feed me now. So, like, if you're not getting fed, pick up the fork and knife. Feed yourself. And so, you know, you're welcome to listen, and that's what we do. It's a great tool to say, okay, how can I learn more? Maybe that's your thing, or maybe it's watching videos. There's tons of great communicators out there online that you can watch, but grow. But don't just get caught up in, like, they have to teach you. Make sure you're learning your own way. And then another option is discussing. Maybe for you it's chewing on stuff. Like, what's that all about? What does that mean? One way to do that is prime groups. A prime group chews on the passage. What does that mean? Okay, we know it. What do we do about it? How does that work? Maybe it's you just hanging out with some friends and talking. Maybe it's even the Sunday afternoon lunch. You go home, sit around the table, and say, hey, kids, mom, dad, what did you think of this morning? What did you learn from it? How did we grow? What challenged you? What did you go, huh, that doesn't make sense, or why would God do that? Discussing it sometimes helps us really get it in our heads. Another thing that is helpful, too, I mean, I had... there's a couple of people from MC3 that do this regularly. I'll get a Facebook message. Sean, wait a second. You said this on Sunday. What did that mean? Oh, good question. This is what it means. Oh, okay. Well, if that's the case, what about this? Oh, yeah, okay. And oh, yeah, you know what? I don't know about that one. I don't know why God said that. You know, and so even just some of that discussion gives you a chance to grow. And then finally is remember. Memorizing is another tool that we have to learn and to grow deeper in our knowledge of God's Word. And memorizing is a great tool. We do it in Ignition. Why do we do that? Because it's so helpful to have God's Word in our heads, in our hearts. And it's this weird thing, and I don't know how to explain it except for the Holy Spirit and God. But there are these moments where we'll memorize something, and we'll be like, we'll do it. We'll get our check off the list. We'll get our prize, whatever. And then it could be years later, and you're in a situation, and suddenly God brings that verse that you memorized to mind. And you go, wow, maybe I shouldn't do this. Or you make a decision based on something that God brought back to mind. So remembering is another way. These are all tools, ways that you can grow deeper, ways we can grow in our knowledge of Jesus, learning more about Him. Because the church at Thyatira had a problem. They were shallow. They were doing a lot of good stuff, but they didn't know much about Jesus. They didn't know enough, and it caused them to go in a completely different direction away from Him. So for us, MC3, you need to grow deeper. And it is not my responsibility to grow you deeper. In a sense, yes, it is. I'm teaching the Word of God. And if I'm not communicating the Word of God truthfully, call me on it. Bring the elders in. Bring me down. Because it's not about me. It's about the Word of God. And we need to grow. We need to learn. If you're not reading your Bible, stop making the excuses and start doing it. Well, that's just head knowledge. Yes, it is. But the more we know, the more we can do. But if we're just doing it out of a shallow heart, we're going to get led astray. So the message to the shallow church was to grow deep. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the letters to these churches in Revelation. And I pray that we can take what applies to us today from the church in Thyatira. Help us to grow deeper. Help us to read your word, to study your word, to meditate on your word, to memorize your word, to write it out, to listen, to watch. All these things so that we can grow to know you more. And God, I know we cannot earn your love any more than we already have. But by learning and knowing and growing deeper, we can get to know who you are more. And the more we know you, the more it changes us. So help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.